The 10-12, I'm sorry, this is agenda A03-12 of the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, present in Carson City.
Rebecca Wagner.
Jay Noble.
And I'm Lynn Burtonshaw in Las Vegas. Item 1A is time for comments from the general public. Are there any persons present who wish to make a statement in Carson City?
No one's coming forward.
Even in Las Vegas. No one's coming forward. Item 2A is Ms. Cohen.
Thank you, Chairman. We have 7 BDRs here for you to vote. I'm sorry, these aren't the actual bill drafts themselves, but this is a description of the bill draft. The bill draft, the BDRs are due to Budget Office and for the Governor's review on June 1st. And we do have a few. We're working with staff. Most of these are staff's recommendations as to generally their housekeeping kind of cleanup statutes. And I have some changes to 3 of them, but the rest of them would remain the way they are. To give you an idea of what would be included, we're involved. Darcy is the point person here who will submit all of these into the NEP system, which is a new system. And just so you'll know, they were supposed to be up and running May 1st, and they weren't. And we are still waiting for an all-agency memorandum from the governor's office indicating, you know, some kind of protocol, but we have had meetings with the governor's office to indicate, and they are aware of these bills, and we haven't had any objections. So, just to give you a little background on why you don't have the actual bill draft language in front of you, we don't have them finished yet because we've just been kind of rushing to make our June 1st deadline because we were given another deadline earlier that I guess was changed. And so the first one is that, rather than reading it, I mean, I would entertain questions, or I believe Ms. Cuneo is available to answer questions also, if you had any questions as to what this one would do. At this point, I don't believe that this one has any actual drafted language, because this is mobile home parks, which encompasses quite a bit of statutory change and possibly another agency. But this is the general idea of why staff thinks it's important.
Any questions?
I do. I was wondering what the definition of a professional utility is. I assume that's, and I don't mean to be a smart aleck on that, just you're referencing like NV Energy or Southwest Gas.
Yes.
Ms. Cuneo? Okay.
Yes. So, you know, the problem is that we have a bunch of little mobile home parks. They have some tenant service charges, some of which have a significant amount of money involved, and sometimes the owners, you know, this is not their business. Utilities are not their business, and yet they're required to own, operate, and maintain utility equipment inside the home park. And some of the billing, yeah, they view that as some of them view that as their money, and when the parks get sold, some of them try to abscond with it and whatnot. It's sort of a protection measure. Ultimately, it's sort of a consumer protection measure, both for a safety perspective and a making sure that the money goes to where it's supposed to go.
And has staff had an opportunity to discuss with the professional utilities this consideration? Are they willing, or?
We've had discussions with respect to certain incremental parks, and there's some items that are coming up for the commission's consideration that do address this broader topic on a more individual basis.
Okay.
So, yes, in part.
Okay, thank you.
I have none.
Ms. Cuneo, do you have any druthers whether or not we would have, as we sat here, the utilities taking over the billing and maintenance of the parks, as opposed to the other approach of changing the real estate laws? Do you have any druthers, which you think?
Well, I think it's probably easier, again, as a Public Utilities Commission, probably easier to work with our utility companies and have that changed, because there is the physical safety operation, provision of service. That's easier for us to change than for the real estate division. We were just trying to, think of what are the different ways that you could accomplish the same goal. I think it would probably be easier to accomplish it through our statutes and regs and our, with our utilities, but.
Okay. Okay, then I would move that we approve submission. It's called a BDR.
But you're approving that we're going to submit a BDR.
Okay. Approve submission of a BDR to the Department of Administration as proposed.
Second.
Concur.
2B.
All right, 2B is, I'm sorry. Yes, this one is just basically allowing small water companies to waive the IRP filing requirements in the event that the company doesn't anticipate growth or necessary changes to infrastructure. I believe 5 years. Ms. Cuneo, was it 5 years? They could wait 5 years was the proposed language on that one.
Right. Staff proposed having no more than one waiver. You would need to come in at least every 6 years. The waivers for they required currently every 3, and so the waiver would be allowable for 1 within a 6-year period. So you'd still have to come in at a minimum once every 6.
Any questions or comments?
I have none.
No questions.
Okay, then I move we approve submission of a BDR to the Department of Administration as proposed.
Second.
Concur.
Item 2C.
Again, rather than discussing it, if you had any questions, because I think it's probably kind of self-evident what this one is going to cover.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
No questions.
I have none.
I would move we approve submission of a BDR to the Department of Administration as proposed.
Second.
Concur.
Item 2D.
I have some changes, proposed changes for item 2D. I would change the description to be a little bit better and more inclusive to say, to bring the Commission's gas pipeline safety statutes into compliance with the Pipeline Safety Regulatory Certainty and Jobs Creation Act of 2011 in Section 3, NRS 455.096 should be revised to remove the exemption of the Department of Transportation in order to comply with the new requirement that all underground operators must participate. NRS 704.190's notification requirements should be revised to remove the term accidents and replaced with incidents and significant outages, and should be modified, and here's where the change comes, to better describe the events we are interested in hearing about and turning things up with the notification rule modifications implemented in late 2010, delete the data accumulated in 2011 and 2012, and then add an NRS 704.595 should be revised to match the new federal criteria for civil penalties.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
I do. I have a question with regard to how Department of Transportation feels about this.
And I'm going to defer to Ken Jones.
Okay.
Well, if I could, if you could hear me. I have had discussions with their deputy administrators, and they're pretty much on board for this. The only issue we're trying to work out right now is timing. They might ask that the final exemption gives them a sunset date, like October 1 of next year.
Okay.
And I believe Southwest has also been in contact with them, and they're getting the same sort of thing.
Okay, good. I just didn't want to propose something that affected another state agency without not.
We've been talking about this for about a year.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Ken.
And I just would add on that if the exemption isn't taken out, the federal grants for our program go away.
Right, but that doesn't mean the Department of Transportation cares about that.
But public health and safety might even trump that. So.
Okey-dokey. I would move we approve submission of a BDR to the Department of Administration as modified by Ms. Cohen today.
Second.
Concur.
2E.
All right, 2E is another one. This is pretty much a cleanup provision to eliminate necessities. Well, Ms. Kino could probably do it much better than I, but basically, my understanding is staff's never been asked, and we have never been asked to do anything pursuant to this provision, and may not have the resources to do it if required. So the governor is, and the LCB right now, is in an extensive revision of statutory and regulations to try to clean up and remove and repeal unnecessary types of law. So this kind of goes along with what we've been dealing with the governor's office and LCD right now.
Right, I can add to that. Yeah, essentially, staff in part of our Rule 9 discussions with the utilities and dealing with franchise fees and some of the issues that came up under that, this statute was referenced, and I thought, I'd never seen this before. I've never looked at NRS 709, and lo and behold, it says that water companies that are essentially non-jurisdictional, that are, you know, co-ops or munis or whatever, can ask the PUC to help them with rate cases. They would need to, you know, help out with the costs, etc. But as far as I'm aware, we have never been requested to provide this sort of service. The last unofficial request we've gotten was the Carson City Water Utilities. They wanted us to do a little sanity check on their rate design, which, you know, we did with a couple of hours of work, you know, on the, we didn't charge them for that. It was sort of a courtesy. And I was worried that if we ever really did have to do a full-blown rate case for another, you know, muni or co-op, I don't think we have the staff or the ability to do that. So it was my opinion that since we'd never really used this, or I, as far as I'm aware, no one's ever used this ability, perhaps it was time to go.
Any questions or comments?
Nope.
I have none.
Yeah, I'm thinking the water district's not going to call us up anytime soon. Okay, so I would move that we approve submission of a BDR to the Department of Administration as proposed.
Second.
Concur.
2F.
All right, 2F is, again, this is, and we've had several different kinds of proceedings and before you about this Federal Communications Commission and changes. And as was explained, as Ms. Winslow explained today, and also our petition to General Counsel, there's going to be statutory changes needed. This investigation that Ms. Winslow's had the order for phase one today is addressing a lot of these things, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what statutory changes are necessary and if, you know, regulations will be. We do know that statutory change will be necessary to keep the some funding. So I have to change this language and to update it because of, you know, this changes constantly, this FCC. To comply with Federal Communications Commission changes requested pursuant to its USF ICC transformation order, order and notice of proposed rulemaking issued on November 18th, 2011, concerning a broad transformation of the Federal Universal Service Fund and intercarrier compensation ICC regimes, and pursuant to the Lifeline Reform Order issued February 6, 2012, language should be revised, including but not limited to NRS 704.104.684, 704.6873, 707.400 through 500 inclusive.
Any questions?
None.
I would move that we approve submission of a BDR to the Department of Administration as modified by Ms. Cohen.
Second.
Concur.
QG?
All right, the last one. This one is an attempt on the Commission's part to try to deal with some of these regulatory obligations that mainly telecom carriers are not complying with. So I have some changes to this to try to narrow it down a little bit because it was a little broad, and it will provide some possible internal changes and processes in order to administer this. But as far as the actual concept of what we're trying to do, the purpose is needed when we submit this to the NEP system. So I would begin it with to assist the Commission in its ability to enforce its regulatory to enforce regulatory obligations of utilities, modify NRS 704.330 to require telecommunication providers seeking certificates or licenses to post a $1,000 bond prior to the Commission's granting of the certificate or license. I thought maybe a definite amount for the bond would be preferable, because that normally it's not much more than that for the these first-year people. And then the implementation of the bond could be internally provided, such as in a compliance order, so that if the CPC would be issued pursuant upon the posting of the bond. But these are just some ideas, because we really don't have the BDR language for this yet.
Any questions or comments?
Just to be clear, that was just for telecommunications?
Well, my understanding is that they're, Ms. Cuneo, I think you could probably address this too. They're the primary problem when we have these order to show cause hearings. And also, just, Ms. Wenzel is in the process, and I believe has reached consensus on regulations to deal with the order to show cause process, which should help also the commission to further refine and be consistent with these obligations of these carriers that are not paying their mill assessments or paying their other kinds of fees that they owe the commission.
Right. So I think that the problem are the telecoms, the small telecoms that are getting these CPCs and then failing to file anything with the commission, and then the very next year getting their CPCs revoked. However, I believe the statute does apply to all companies, coming in for a CPC. So while the problem is telecom specific, I don't believe the statute is.
Okay.
So you would be applying the same bond requirement on all people who want a CPC. That's usually not too many more.
Right.
There's
what we have, yeah.
Some small water companies potentially. There's some. I was going to say, I don't know if the alternative sellers of natural gas even get CPCs. I think they do, so that would apply to them as well. But,
okay.
If we're talking scale and scope, probably less than 1% are others.
Okay.
And this would be going forward, not retroactively. So these would be only, people that are seeking the CPCs or other kinds of licenses in the future. We're not going to go back and retroactively, say you got to post a bond, if you've already been licensed.
And Ms. Carn, did you mention an amount for the bond?
$1,000.
Could we bump that up to maybe 25 or 5? Because I would think that as soon as we establish it, I'm just concerned that it wanted to have something that would be meaningful. And
that's fine. That's fine, Commissioner. I just threw $1,000 out, and 25 is fine with me. It's fine with any of you.
Can I weigh in? Sorry. My only concern with raising it up is that 1%. If you had a small water company, I don't know if that would be overly burdensome. And since this is a statute, you can't waive it. If it was a regulation, then you could potentially ask for a waiver due to, I don't know, I've never had to actually post a bond, so I don't know how much money you have to come up with in order to post it. Do you have to come up with the full $5,000, or is it a percentage?
Well, maybe what we want to do is just say post a bond, leave the amount out, and do that in rulemaking.
Well, or a rulemaking after the legislation is passed. I just worry that, if we say 2,500 and we have no basis for 2,500, we're just arbitrarily picking a number. So I would rather leave the number out and, kind of let the legislative and rulemaking process guide that, so it's fair.
I would agree with that.
I think you're right, Commissioner, because I remember when we got the civil penalty, the ability to directly fine with the commission, and I appeared before the legislature. They were very concerned with justification for the amount of the fines and where we came up with them and why we were using them. And so that's a good point.
Anything else? I would move then that we approve submission of the BDR to the Department of Administration as modified by Ms. Cohen without a bond amount.
Second.
Concur.
Item 3A. Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Chairman. At the last administrative agenda, the Commission discussed and voted to establish a recruiting, interviewing, and hiring process for positions appointed by the Commission. attached with your briefing materials today in the draft of what was discussed and approved. Additionally, I included two footnotes that were not part of the discussion, but I thought were relevant to the process. With that, does the commission have any changes or additions to the process? I don't.
I have none.
And I would move that we accept the process outlined and outlined in Ms. Jackson's briefing memo.
Second.
Concur.
Item 3B.
Thank you. On May 16th, the selection committee consisting of the executive director, general counsel, and the utilities hearings officer conducted interviews for the utilities hearing officer position, which will be vacant effective June 1st. While the decision was a difficult one, the selection committee's recommendation for consideration by the commission is Donald Lamojo. Mr. Lamojo has a Bachelor of Science Business Administration degree from the University of Nevada, Reno, and he received his Juris Doctor from California Western School of Law. He is also a member of the State Bar of Nevada. He has been with the commission since its inception. No, actually, since and since that time, he has served as a legal case manager, an administrative attorney to former Chairman Donald Soderberg, an administrative attorney in General Counsel's office, and most recently as assistant staff counsel. Given Mr. Lamojo's education, tenure, and experience he has gained within the commission, the selection committee believes he is a prime candidate for the position of utilities hearing officer. During the interview, Mr. Lamojo indicated that there's prior scheduling commitments within the staff counsel division that he would not be available to start until the first part of July. With that said, the selection committee recommends a start date of July the 2nd. And attached to your briefing materials is a copy of the internal recruitment, Mr. Lamojo's letter of interest, along with his resume, and the NRS 241.033 notice acknowledgement. I'm available, as is the other members of the selection committee, if there's any questions.
Any questions or comments?
My only comment is I'm glad to have Don back on the dark side with us. And I know it'll be tough on the staff side, but I look forward to working with you and wish you were starting sooner than July 1st or 2nd, but congratulations.
I have nothing to add.
Okie doke, then I would move that we approve the committee's recommendation and select Don Lamojo as our hearing officer.
Second.
Concur.
Okay, item 3C.
I have no other items today, Chairman.
All right, item 4A is time for the comment from the public. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment in Carson City?
No one's coming forward.
You are in Las Vegas? No one's coming forward. We're adjourned.